been a hell of a week, but we are back together, you and me, and it's time for another podcast. I used to think I had a type, but I'm starting to think, in between listening to self-help subliminals and typing up all my adventures, that each achingly amorous affair was a clue on a scavenger hunt. My first clue was a severed severe hand clutching a ruler. I took him home, holding him instead of doing my homework, until he snaked up around my shoulders, whispering, "Do some bloody writing." He rapped my knuckles before he bid me good day and stormed from the scene. I thought of the handsome hand constantly, until by chance on a blustery blue Sunday I was swept into the sky, finding a cuddly cloud, gentle and genuine, who settled me down, tucking me into the serene sunset. She kissed my cheeks and bruised knuckles until I dozed into delirious dreams. And then it began to rain. I sank from the sky, floating to the floor, melting in the madness like a wonderful witch, landing in the lap of love. And then, darling, there is you. I found you. My treasure that I keep buried in my bed under the covers so that I will always have balance. I remember actually thinking recently about how, if I look back at my relationships, there are some people that have certain qualities that I really like. But like each of them has sort of one or two of those things. And if I took, you know, all of those people and I kind of put them together in some kind of person mashup, they would kind of have everything I'm looking for. But obviously that's not something you can do. You can't. I feel like that's probably illegal or impossible or both. But I mean, obviously, you know, as you go through life, you don't always know that there are certain things that you want. And so you have to kind of discover them. And it's kind of like you find all these things that you didn't even realize you were looking for, and then they become things that you look for in the next person, and it goes on and on and on until you find someone who is the actual sort of mixture of all of the things you want. Or you don't. Oh god, but if you don't, I don't know. But I suppose you keep looking in the hope that you do, you know, and that one day you'll have someone who really is perfect for you. There's still time. It can be very difficult when you have like this whole list, when you go into something, because you know, over time you figured out what it is you want, and maybe it makes you feel entitled and mean and whatever, but I don't really see the point in waiting around and seeing if, you know, someone's suddenly going to magically become something different, because everybody is as you find them, you know. And I don't think it's right for me to try and change somebody into what I want, because they are who they are and I don't have a right to change that. So I guess it's better to not waste time and to just move away and find someone who can be what I need. But it can be hard to explain that sometimes, because it's not like a personal thing. It's just, I know exactly what I'm looking for. I know exactly who I'm looking for, in a sense. And it's like every day, even in the most mundane things, it's like I feel myself getting closer to this person. I know that that's the kind of person I'm supposed to be with. I just have to figure out who they are. Do you know what I mean? But I don't have a million years to wait. So sometimes we're going to have to be quick about it.
Order, mews our cat, looking up in great disappointment as he surfaces from the sea of eggs, watching his tuna steak float away. I will have order, he continues, but Mum and Dad are too busy filling the room with poorly made plans that join the ever-growing ocean of cracked and cold eggs, to notice that our cat can talk and has a heightened sense of importance. I scoop him up, cradling him to my chest, drying my eyes on his forgiving fur. We are covered in cracked and cold eggs. The cat escapes my arms. And now we have spilled milk to worry about too. I'm still not hungry. I wipe eggs from my eyes. And I enter the cat for the Spanish version of Britain's Got Talent. Mum and Dad are still at it.
I wrote that in, I think, sort of towards the end of 2017. And it's really funny how it's still pretty relevant now. Apart from the fact that obviously Theresa May is going. She's resigned or whatever she's doing with herself. It's the one time she called a statement and she actually said something, you know, of value that journalists couldn't just get from a press release, you know, because normally she had this habit of just calling statements all the time and just saying, I'm gonna make a statement. All of the fucking journalists, bless them, had to go there, and then she'd just say, nothing has changed, Brexit means Brexit, or whatever. But this time she actually said something, I guess, worthy of them being there. And I don't know if you've seen, she had a bit of a moment. It was quite awkward to watch, because I was watching it on a stream live as it was happening, and you could hear the bit when her voice started to go, and I just remember thinking, please don't cry, don't do this, please. You know, there are some people who think that her crying means like an indication that she was a bad choice for prime minister and she was a bad leader. I don't think that crying or showing emotion makes you a bad leader. I think there is plenty about Theresa May that shows she's a bad leader. I don't think her crying is that. But I feel it did show a lot about who she is. There's been a lot of debate over this kind of thing, you know, but to watch a woman who has stood up in Prime Minister's questions when confronted about the actions of her government causing people hardship, she will just vomit statistics at people and sound bites and say everything's fine. You know, people will come to her in these sessions and they will say, you know, my constituents are having to turn to sex work to survive because the Department for Work and Pensions is having so many delays with getting them the money that they are entitled to and they deserve and they need to survive. And these people are being forced into things like sex work and things like that to make money. People will come to her and they will say, you know, my constituents have had to sell pretty much everything they own because they don't have money. You know, people will come to her and they'll say, I've got constituents who are working full-time jobs and they are still having to go to food banks because they're not making enough money because the minimum wage is not enough to survive on. You know, things like that. And Theresa May will just, she just puts up a wall, doesn't acknowledge it, doesn't engage with it, doesn't show any sort of indication that she gives a shit, really. Her own constituency, you know, schools were having to have fundraisers because education cuts meant that they didn't have the budget to buy simple things for the kids, you know, pencils and books. What the fuck? And she's just like, well, you know, just not bothered. But then when it comes to her having her pride hurt, being embarrassed, then she cries. To me, that says a lot about who she is. I'm not saying she should have stood there and cried in Prime Minister's questions, but she could have at least engaged with the things they were saying and, you know, had a bit of empathy, you know, taken these concerns seriously instead of standing there in front of the public, really, because Prime Minister's questions is something we all have the ability to watch. And basically just refusing to engage with the complaints people had, refusing to acknowledge the concerns, the very valid concerns people had, and just regurgitating the same scripted answer with the occasional joke about the Labour Party or something. But then when it comes to her own personal pride and her own hardship, suddenly she's got all these things she can say. Suddenly she's emotional. Suddenly she's saying, I tried the best for you. But we have legitimate, like, weekly evidence that she didn't. There were MPs who were coming into that chamber having to ask her repeatedly, week after week in some cases, about the same concerns that they had. And every time she'd give some bullshit, scripted, sarcastic little answer. And it's like, really, this is you trying your best? Seriously? For real? Girl. So you know what? I didn't feel bad for laughing a little when she cried, because there she is, looking like a clown. It feels good. You know, it's what she deserves. I get that being Prime Minister is probably the hardest job in the country sometimes, but it would not have taken much for her to swallow her pride during those times when people had concerns and just listen. Like, she couldn't even do that some weeks. You'd see her sat on the bench while someone's reading out their question, telling her these stories about people that had come to them for help. And so they were coming to the Prime Minister, and she'd be sitting there talking to other people. She'd be laughing. She'd be making faces, sitting there with an attitude. And it's like, really? You couldn't even, you know what I mean? Even if she can't publicly stand up and say, yes, my government has failed on some things and we're screwing up and we're sorry, right? Because I get maybe she can't say that, but she could at least give them the respect of sitting there quietly and listening and not sitting there just being childish. She's not a child. She's a grown fucking woman, right? A bloody difficult woman, so she has reclaimed the term. But I just... And that's the other thing, actually, that's sort of irritating me, is now that she's resigned, there's all these people coming out with all these hot takes about how she's an amazing feminist because she's a woman and she was the prime minister. And I'm like, being a woman is not a feminist act on its own. If a female prime minister that throws other women under the bus repeatedly is not worth a fucking thing, right? Theresa May is not some kind of feminist icon. Neither was Margaret Thatcher. You want to know good female leaders? Nicola Sturgeon. Leanne Wood. Caroline Lucas. You know, women who not only work for women, but work for everybody, but they try and address the inequalities between men and women. And that's a feminist. Somebody who's trying to close the gap of inequality between men and women. To make it so that men and women are on equal ground. You know what I mean? That's what a feminist is. Simply being a woman in a position of power does not automatically make you a feminist hero, because it's what you do with that power. It's what you do that counts. Theresa May, right? A woman who, when she was Home Secretary, deported lesbians to countries where they would be killed for their sexuality. That's not a feminist hero. That is a woman who, frankly, has the blood of other women on her hands, as well as other LGBT people that she sent away to their deaths. And as Prime Minister, you know, she had nothing to say about the men in her party who were caught out using their power to harass and abuse women. You know, where was her big, you know, statement about Michael Fallon, who... multiple instances of doing that, and all she did was just accept his resignation when he left the cabinet, and that was all. She had nothing else to say. It was wild. She had nothing to say about those kinds of things. She didn't care. She didn't want to raise her voice and defend other women. That's not a feminist. That is not a feminist at all. She had nothing to say about, you know, the rape clause. If you don't know what that is, basically there was a cap put on child tax credits, so you could only claim them for 2 children. There was an exception made for people who had had a third child due to being raped or abused or something like that. But the only way that people in that situation could claim that is by having to fill out a very invasive form and having to go through a very traumatizing experience, having to relive what had happened to them, which anybody who has been through that can tell you is not something they're going to be able to do, really. So again, yeah, she's allegedly a feminist hero. What about those women? What about women who have been through one of the most traumatic things a person can go through and is having to relive that over and over just so that they're able to feed their child? The hell kind of feminism is that? It's ridiculous. It's so stupid. But now, I mean, she'll go and have a little moment. She'll go off to David Cameron's shed for naughty prime ministers. We'll get a new Tory leader. They'll become the Prime Minister, even though the rest of the country didn't vote for them. But nothing's really going to change with Brexit. We're still in the same situation. The EU's not going to renegotiate the deal because it would be unfair to the rest of the members of the EU, which is fair enough. The House doesn't want to leave with no deal. Nobody likes the current deal, but the current deal can't be negotiated again. So where do we go from here? Maybe a second referendum. I don't know. What do we do? I just... This whole Brexit thing was nothing but trouble, you know what I mean? It's been a waste of time, a waste of money. We could just knock it on the head and just do something else, you know? Just fuck it off. And you know, focus on the health service or schools or, you know, something like that. But no, Theresa kept pushing it. Jeremy Corbyn keeps pushing it, you know, so... Whoever's going to succeed Theresa May will keep pushing it. Do you know what? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm speaking it into existence. Brexit is going to be cancelled. I've tweeted this before as well. I tweeted it. I've written it into existence. I'm now speaking it into existence here on the podcast. Let's all use our magic together. Brexit cancelled. Moving on. Okay, and we're going to get ourselves a government that actually knows what they're fucking doing. We're going to fix things. There's going to be no more nurses having to go to food banks. There's going to be no more schools having to do fundraisers to be able to afford pens for their kids. There's going to be no more disabled people not having the support they need. There's going to be no more homeless veterans. We are going to find something, some kind of way, election, referendum, it's gonna be fixed. I'm speaking this into existence. Maybe it'll be me. Oh my God, can you imagine me as Prime Minister? Wow. No, that'd be a terrible idea. No, I'll stick to what I'm good at, and we'll get someone competent in Downing Street now that Theresa's fucking off. I think maybe we've got to wait until the Tories realise nobody actually wants them there. But they'll figure it out eventually, and then we'll get it together and we'll get it done. Here we go again, you and I. Not quite over the rainbow, gazing at the golden gifts life has given us, trying not to give up as the world goes from grey to tremendous technicolour and back again. I have been your innocent face, frightened on a flickering screen, and your restless soul hoarded by Hollywood forever, five times unlucky, pacing the Palladium, the palace, parading my pain, to unsettling but adoring applause. I'm so close to starting to step where you have already stopped. The personal becomes public because everyone is so panicked that I won't be the perfection I never promised to be. And though I regret that we've never met, I dream of you all the while because you're the only one who understands. I've always really loved Judy Garland, like a lot, since I was little. Like many people, the first thing I saw her in was The Wizard of Oz. But then I watched like everything she was in. I was very lucky because my granddad is a big fan of hers too. So he had lots of stuff that I could have. And as I got older and I kind of knew more about her life as well, I kind of really... I don't know if I could say relate, because obviously we didn't have the same experiences, but, you know, I felt very, very close to her because of that, you know, having been, you know, sort of very young and feeling a lot of pressure to be successful, although a lot of mine was sort of put on myself by me, but there was, you know, from other places too. And then as you get older, trying to find some kind of happiness, trying to feel okay when you don't really know what that would look like and how you'll feel when you're there. So maybe sometimes you skip past it because you never knew that you had it until it was over. I just think that what happened to her was so sad. You know, because I think all she wanted was to be happy. And there are a lot of people who just saw her as a way to make them rich until it was too late. Kind of like when I was talking about Amy Winehouse the other day, it's a very similar thing, you know. I really think sometimes the entertainment industry destroys good people, you know, because it always wants more, and good people, nice people, will always want to give that. And it knows, and it just bleeds them dry. It's terrifying. My boyfriend loves me more than the high he was beholden to, and the wife who had his devotion till I got my way, wrapped my wayward ways around his tortured tongue. He tells me I taste like a candy store, and he's thankful for the way I taste and for my taste in men. He eats me up until he's full, has no room for the needle and the nag he left behind. I think a lot about this kind of habit I have of trying to be, you know, kind of the fix to a person, trying to be like this place of safety, you know, where they can go when everything gets a bit much. I don't know if it's too good for me. It feels like maybe it's not, but what can I do, you know? I think I've talked before, I kind of find myself, you know, almost like the patron saint of broken people. And I think in my wayward delusions that I can make everything better. But maybe that means there's something wrong with me, you know, that I have to deal with. I don't know. Do I look like I know these things? I say, knowing full well that you cannot look at me because this is a podcast. I don't know. Maybe it's a nice aspiration to have, to want to be the one person who fixes someone and saves them. But maybe it's just looking for trouble. Maybe I like trouble. I don't know. There's a whole world out there and there's a ton of people. But I keep falling in love with the wrong ones. I suppose I've always been fascinated by the idea of being the person that somebody loves most in the world. Almost as if, you know, they were addicted to me. And I was in their veins, in their mind, constantly. I just think that would be a wonderful existence. But sometimes I don't know. And what happens when you get there, you know? I say all these things, but sometimes I can be very isolated. And not because I'm forced to be that way, but just because I choose it. And if someone loved me that much, well, I don't know if they could deal with that. I wrote a story about that once. I read a bit of it on one of the early episodes of this podcast. And a fun fact for you, it was so late when I was recording, I actually fell asleep while I was recording it. And I think I left that on the episode. Because it was a long time ago. It was before I really kind of figured out, you know, how to edit things properly. And so if you go back far enough, I think you can actually hear that. But I wrote a story about it to see if I could figure out what would happen. Because I do that sometimes. If I want to know how something's going to go, or I want to know how I would react to things or things like that, I write stories and poems about it so I can kind of figure it out in my own head and in my own way. So, but I didn't really come to a conclusion, to be honest with you. So I guess I'll have to keep writing until I figure it out. Okay kids, that's it for today's episode, but I will see you next week with a brand new episode. You can check out my website, which is jenniferwan.com, for more of my work. You can also find the link in the description. You can also follow me on social media with the username MissJSquared on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr, and other places like that. My new book, Old Brown Eyes Is Back, is now available, and you can find that at all major bookstores and things like that. You can also get it from my website, which is jenniferwan.com. Next week's episode is going to be a special expanded version, by the way, so that'll be fun. But I will tell you more about that next week on the episode, so that'll be a mystery. Thank you to Amanda from Patreon. I love you very much, and I hope you're having the very best Sunday ever. I will see you guys next week. Good night, my love.